Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
You were raised to believe the world was black and white. But what if it isn't? What if the rigid belief system you have never questioned is wrong? What if the world is actually a lot more gray? This show is for the seekers, the explorers, those brave enough to step outside of certainty and question everything. Join your hosts as they sit across from the world's leading thought leaders, visionaries, religious gurus, entrepreneurs, philosophers, and more to tackle difficult topics. You don't need all the answers to find meaning in life, but you should be free to ask all the questions. This is Figuring It Out.
In today's episode, we will react to Rhett's deconstruction story from Rhett and Link. But before we dive into the topic that we're going to cover for the rest of this episode, first, we want to remind you to subscribe to the Figuring It Out newsletter by visiting FIODaily.substack.com. We will deliver our hot takes on life's burning questions in a daily newsletter that is sometimes insightful, sometimes funny, and always short. Just a quote, a thought, and a question over at FIODaily.substack.com. Now, let's get into the episode. So before we get into the meat of the content today, first off, what have you guys been reading, watching, listening to that you think people want to know about? Jackie? Ladies first, I guess.
You guess. All right.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Progressive. Yeah, I like
too
it.
Far away. Cheers. But cheers.
Red Bull and I'll wine is it. A healthy thing.
Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, Red Bull and you have Red Bull in your wine?
No, I'm just drinking the two. I'm like alternating. Keep me awake and make me sleepy.
Right. That way you want to confuse your body. Yeah. Right. Right.
It's what is that called?
Classic.
Muscle confusion.
Yeah. Totally.
That's what that is.
Right. You got to shock the body.
Institute for Human Anatomy. I learn something every week.
Okay.
Maybe. All right, Jackie, go ahead.
All right. The book I listened to most recently, and I actually ordered it because I love the reflection points on it, is a book called Becoming Flossom.
Is that a book about dental hygiene?
It is not.
You brush
That's
them
what
and flossem.
You do right after you brush your teeth.
I like the first book, Brush Them, and then Flossom is the great sequel.
You guys are the worst.
Sorry.
No, it's not. I feel like it is a good book for a lot of people who are deconstructing right now, because I feel like it is... The main theme of the book is just giving yourself permission to not be perfect and saying that, like, you can have flaws and that's awesome as well.
Oh,
as
flaws.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Though not flossing is a flaw.
Oh, dear me. Okay. But yeah, no, that's been a really good book. Like I said, I liked it enough to where I literally ordered the book so I could go through all the reflection points. I like books that have, like, call to actions at the end of the each, like, chapter to where it gives you something to bring it back to, like, your own personal life. I think a quote that stuck out to me the most was on one of the reflection points that she asked you at the end of one of the chapters. And it said, basically, are you willing to change if you don't know what you're changing into? Mm-hmm. And I feel like it's been something, especially with, like, the whole deconstruction process that I've struggled with the most, is not knowing what I'm deconstructing to or what I'm going to. And so just kind of, again, obviously owning your saying that you can make flaws and make mistakes and make all of that. And that's okay too. And also not knowing the destination that you're going to. I think that's been like a big thing that I've struggled with. I think I went through a big time in my life where I just chose not to care. Yeah. And now I feel like I'm at the point where I do care, but I also don't know what my end goal is at this point, other than obviously being a mom and raising my kids to be good humans. But I'm trying to figure out what that looks like. And for myself, obviously, I just always want to be honest with my kids in that aspect. So that's been a big thing for me. And I think that this book has helped me a lot of just realizing that I don't have to actually know where I'm headed to, but I can also just be real with myself and ask the questions I need to ask to see who I am becoming, and knowing that I'm not going to know exactly who I'm becoming while I'm in the process either.
Oh, yeah. Well, and probably you never will.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of a continuous process.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's a really good book.
I've been saying that a lot. Like, there's no end point to deconstruction, because you're always getting new information, adjusting accordingly.
Yeah.
That's kind of the issue with the term almost. Yeah. Deconstruction is like it implies.
Eventually you run out of things to deconstruct.
Right. Right.
Which you shouldn't.
Yeah.
You know,
which my personality type, it's very hard to accept that.
Yeah. There's no model
the
to
uncertainty.
Try to fit into.
Yeah. I'm just like, I want to know where I'm going. I want to know what the end goal is.
I'm not even sure that's just your personality type. I think that's pretty hardwired in all of us.
Yeah.
I mean, arguably that's kind of where all religion came from, is
that's true.
The desire for certainty in the face of uncertainty.
Yeah.
Becoming Flossom by Christina Lacchiani, Fish and Lacchiani's wife over at Mind Valley. That's the recommendation from Jackie.
It is.
Eric.
I mean, I watched 2 days ago. You said, are you watching Quiet on Set?
Yeah.
And I said, no, but yesterday I did. So I watched the first, I have a little bit of the fourth episode left to go. I watched the first three and it's weird. I don't watch a lot of true crime, even though I do like a true crime podcast.
Yeah.
I feel like that's my bandwidth. So I really pick and choose which ones I dive into.
So explain what it is.
It's basically exposing like Nickelodeon and like the abuses that happen on all those shows with like Dan Schneider and Brian Peck. Obviously, like I talk about stuff in different contexts, but again, there's so many similarities to like the culture of abuse and like the way people turn a blind eye to stuff, the way that like one person is treated as like a god in the system because they're over everything. And so like, it was really interesting watching, and I've gone down that rabbit hole so many times, but it's never been in a way that's like curated the way the show is. So it's been a really good like primer on all of it. So I highly recommend it. It's really good, eye-opening. And for anybody who watches content like mine with like Preacher Boys or has seen, you know, like The Vow, like that kind of documentary, they'll probably like this one as well.
Yeah. And it's always interesting to see that when you grew up watching all of that.
Yeah.
And then seeing what was really going on behind the scenes,
which I didn't. I found out about like Dan Schneider like 4 years ago.
Oh, really?
I knew about the shows.
Wait,
I
what did you watch growing up? You didn't watch?
I watched Ninja Turtles. I watched a lot of like Ninja Turtles. I watched Recess.
So you didn't have like the teen like Disney Channel, no. Nickelodeon.
What's the whole thing with Dan Schneider? I really don't know what you're talking about.
There's a documentary on HBO. Called Quiet on Set. No, just kidding. No, he was basically like the Harvey Weinstein of
kids television.
Kids television. Okay. Like, so his name's on everything.
Drake and Josh, iCarly, yeah. Victorious.
Okay. Well, and even stuff. There was a show, and I'm forgetting what it was now, but there was a show that I did watch growing up here and there, and they showed it, and I was like, that's Dan Schneider too? Like, everything, like Victorious, iCarly, Drake and Josh.
He was like the producer or the writer?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. And he was a writer, and then quickly worked his way up the ranks into like producer and director but ultimately was like a super shady dude.
The gatekeeper of so children's television.
Yeah. So it's very exploitative stuff. It's really, really good. Like even for somebody like me who like, I don't have the nostalgia for those shows, but I mean, there's so much a part of pop culture that like you can enter into that conversation and watch it. And again, all the ways things happen in all these cases.
Well, I thought you brought up a good point too, when on Facebook or something, you posted something about anytime something like this comes out, people start jumping on victims and, you know, almost like shaming them for not sharing more or something. Right. It's like, yeah, you brought up a good point.
There's a lot of people that are like Jeanette McCurdy, like come out and it's like, she wrote a book and mentioned a lot of stuff, but it's also like, that's a very big decision to do a documentary.
Yeah.
That's a very big decision to do a podcast. That's a very big, especially when you have like a built-in fan base that's going to either turn on you or support you.
Right.
So, you know, I do think, you know, some people have really pointed out like the silence of some and like not supporting the people that have. And there's been some casts that have been supportive of like Dan Schneider. And it's like, that's kind of sketchy, you know, but
it's not a good look.
Yeah. Right. So, but ultimately I think my big takeaway with a series like Let Us Pray, that happened. With this, it happened. With, you know, I mean, with The Vow, it's happened. Like, there's always people that go, now it's time for fill in the blank, like so-and-so to share. Or why didn't so-and-so? Or like Let Us Pray. Like, I'm not going to name names, but like, there's people I know that were interested that pulled out or that filmed a little bit and ended up not being in it. And like, I don't support them less. Like, they're no less brave.
Yeah.
It's like, some of them have literally faced abusers in court. And it's like, that's enough. You don't need to do a 4-part series where you're open to Twitter jerks like commenting stuff, you know?
Yeah, right.
So anyway, Travis, what have you been reading?
So I've been listening to a book called Outlive by Peter Attia, but it is a little bit less applicable to this type of stuff. So I'm also reading a book right now called Think Again.
By Adam Grant.
By this really cool author that you guys really like. His name is Adam Grant.
You have to explain why you're making fun of me for this right now.
So the backstory is that I've been a big fan of Adam Grant's writing for basically since I started my podcast like 6-7 years ago.
Almost as long as I've known you. And yeah, it was one of the first names you ever told me.
Quite literally, yeah. Because it was like one of the first books I ever read.
Yeah, I remember that was like important one of the first to you real and I retain books. That information.
Yeah, thank you. Because you're a friend of mine who cares for me. And so I was like, I always talked about Adam Grant and especially his book Give and Take, because my book was my show was about networking relationships.
I just didn't connect Give and Take to Adam Grant. To be clear.
So anyway, so Jackie like 3 months ago sends me.
It was like a year ago. It was a year ago.
Okay.
It was a year ago.
Oh, a little while ago.
5 years after you far first
long,
mentioned
it. Far longer than it had been since I started consuming Adam Grant's content. Jackie sends me something on Instagram and goes like, I really think that you would like this guy. He's got cool stuff. And I was like, oh, you mean the guy I've been telling you about for the last 5 years? Yeah, I'm fond of him.
No, he's got decent stuff. We were all eating at Scrambled. It was literally the three of us at Scrambled, and I was in the bathroom and I walked down. And I was like, did you see this?
That's right.
Which made it even worse because
Eric was also there to witness it.
And you were both just like, are you serious right now? I was like, what? It was a good quote.
It's like asking a Buddhist, like, do you know who Buddha is?
Yeah. It was silly.
But she was right. You would be interested.
To be fair, she wasn't technically wrong.
It's like getting someone a gift and being like, I thought you'd like this. Yeah. Like, they have posters of it all over.
But anyway, I'm reading through Think Again, and it is exactly what the title would suggest. It's really helpful for anybody that's going through some sort of I used to believe this, now I believe this, or I used to believe this and I don't know what to believe now. And it's basically just talking it. The book is encouraging you to always be on that journey and to never be so solidified in your own beliefs that you're not willing to accept any new information or to change your beliefs in the face of new evidence presented to you. In the very beginning, he's just really good at breaking down complex issues. And at the very beginning, there's he talks about just the four different types of thinkers. And he talks about the preacher, the prosecutor, the politician, and the scientist. And basically, the punchline is be the scientist. Hmm. But the preacher is the, let's see if I can get this right. The preacher is the I'm right guy. The prosecutor is the you're wrong guy. The politician is the we're right, they're wrong guy. And then the scientist is the we don't know. You know, we're always constantly experimenting, offering hypotheses and then gathering evidence and then measuring that hypothesis against the evidence and the experiment and then formulating a new belief out of it. And then he kind of goes into the competence, confidence curve that I've been talking about recently on my show. The way he breaks down information, like I said, takes very complex, complicated issues and then writes in a way that's really engaging, but also filters it through layers of research and data and science and studies from like a social scientist perspective. So I can't recommend it more, especially for anybody listening to this show. Like it is a perfect book to read in conjunction with listening to a show like this. So Think Again by Adam Grant.
Yeah. And it was funny because Adam Grant got recommended to me again. I knew who he was, but it got recommended by a guest on my show, Stephen Hassan. I think I mentioned he was like, I just read Think Again by Adam Grant.
A fairly well-known individual.
There you go. Yeah. Everybody knows about this guy. He's really blown up.
He's going places. He's this Adam Grant fellow. All right, so question of the week this week is inspired by an interview that I did recently with Zach Justice. So let's go ahead and check out this clip, and then we'll ask the question. Mom bounced back to Vegas.
She went back to Vegas. My grandfather lives there. He's this 2 days, he'll be 85.
Okay.
So I think she just wants to spend some time with him before he goes to God's meet and greet.
Hmm. Yeah.
But knowing my grandpa, he'll be in hell. And that's okay. You know, some people got to do it. And he's one of them.
Yeah, they need attendees as well.
Yeah. Down there. Of course. Yeah, he'll be on the, you know, when you go to someone's house and they think they're fancy, so you have to like sign in.
Yeah.
You were here. Yeah, he's going to do that to hell.
I almost named the episode Signing the Guest Book of Hell. Anyway,
what do you think you're getting into? You're a heaven guy, hell guy?
So I put in a lot of work early on to get into heaven. Lot of
you front loaded it.
Major. Yeah. So I feel pretty good about it. You know, like clocked in so many hours.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so I think I got a pretty decent mansion up there.
Thank goodness.
waiting for me. It just depends on like how long I live now and to what extent I negate those early years of the time that I put in.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
It's kind of funny to think about Jeff Bezos gets to heaven somehow and his mansion is not as nice as the one on Earth.
On Earth.
Yeah. He's like,
because he was too busy making earthly deposits.
Yeah. He's like, this, it was, Earth was, I was killing it on Earth.
Yeah.
And now I'm just like, everybody's got a mansion.
He was solving for the wrong thing because heaven's eternity. You know what I mean?
I get it. He probably has God's email though. He'll figure it out.
Oh yeah. They're definitely in communication.
100%.
It's either God or the devil. Like he made a deal with one of them.
Yeah.
Trust me. He made a deal with.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not CC'd in on those, but I can make my.
Yeah. You think you're headed one way or the other at this point?
Depends on.
What are you 20? You're 27, 28?
28.
28.
Yeah. So I've got like 2 years left, I think.
Just self-inflicted. Reminded me of you, Eric.
I've always said that.
But
I've always said that.
I think there's a clause where if you do that, you go straight to hell. So I'm going to try to fake it.
Mm.
Yeah.
Do you think that the like admissions people in hell wouldn't know that you faked it?
They're busy. You know how many people die every day?
Through the cracks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd have someone really important die. Oh, like in the morning, if someone really important dies, like I'll see it on Twitter and then I'll do it that day. So like they're really focused on that.
Oh yeah, that's smart.
Yeah, a little like Kenny Chesney.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Well, he's going to heaven though.
True. That is a heaven guy. Kim Jong-un.
There you go. That's heaven? Gonna be a big That's gonna be a big day in hell.
That's gonna be a big day. Welcome.
Just like a whole party. Like a
bandwagon
of
hellions.
Of world.
Kim Jong-un and my grandfather.
That was such a great comment to end.
And it's true.
And my grandfather.
I've always said I'm going to die at 30.
You did.
Is that a common sentiment?
I don't think so. 30?
Is it just us?
Wait, how old are you?
28. I have 2 years left.
2 years left.
Yeah, just like him.
Dang. And he's done so much more than me.
No,
I have to find more.
I've always said that. I've always said it's going to be like, I'm going to die at 30.
Yeah.
And I can't see past it. Because, you know, like when you look into the future and you go like, I'm 29, I'll do this. 21, I'm going to, you know, drink. I almost said 21, I'm going to drink and drive. That's not right.
No.
29, I'm going to drink and drive and I won't make it to 30. I'm just kidding. But yeah, that's funny. When he said it, I was like, oh, wow, that's my person.
Yeah. There you go. But you know, anyway, great minds.
Your person.
Have you seen? Well, ask
the question. So question of the week is, do you believe in heaven and hell? Just one, none of the above? Let us know in the comments of this video.
What do you think?
Do I think that they exist as real places?
Yeah.
I do not think that they exist as real places.
All right. No. Well, you're going to hell. Okay, Jackie?
Ooh. To be completely honest, I don't think I've actually really thought of that anytime recently.
Okay, well, now's a good time. We got a podcast
to do.
Figure it out.
I think I tend to think that heaven exists, but I tend to not think that hell exists. I think that hell in the literal way that we were taught. Again, it is very hard for me to believe that any loving, especially, I mean, loving God in that sense would create such a terrible place or even allow for such a terrible place to be created. I also think that there has to be... It seems to be logical that there would be some type of tiered place, I guess, in that sense. But I don't know, it's a hard one. I think that I would like to believe that some life after death exists, but I don't think that it's the literal heaven hell that we were taught growing up, I guess, if I was to think of the answer on the spot. Yeah.
Eric?
I don't know. I think...
none of us know.
Whatever we conceptualize is not going to be it. Yeah. I think the idea, energy is forever thing, so maybe. But I tend to just go, it's lights out. That's kind of my perspective.
What is the movie we just watched where they like wake them up from the dead? Was that Last Kingdom?
Where they wake them up from the dead.
Yeah, where like they like got them from the grave and were like, you could like... You had like three people and you could wake them up. You could ask them three questions.
Oh, that's Dungeons and Dragons.
I want to see Chris Pine? So freaking bad. Yeah.
Yeah.
Who played Captain Kirk in the remake of Star Trek.
Correct.
Okay. Have you seen that?
Yeah.
He's great in that.
Yeah.
He's a great Kirk.
Seen him several times.
But that really? Kind of made fantastic. Me think of that, what? Though.
I think you never saw Star Trek.
No, I've seen all of the new Star Treks. I have not seen all of the old Star Treks.
What the heck?
The new Star Treks are fantastic.
Yeah, they are.
I've seen one or two of the old ones, and they're not to upset any Trekkies, but they're okay.
It's because old movies suck.
Well, okay. Whoa. Chill out there, Jackie.
Don't. If you ever say that again,
you I'm can leave. Walk off.
What is like my line? Those? Is like the 95? Like I 1995. I don't watch past that.
You don't watch past like 2005, 2007.
Have you ever seen this one?
I don't know.
Have you ever seen this clip that I haven't played yet? So Andrew's talking about when his grandma dies.
The human, the entity that she and was, like, loved.
And he's talking about like looking at the casket. And he's like, I always hate going to funerals because like I don't like seeing the dead body because it feels weird and creepy. But he's like, this time it felt different. It's like, I know they're in a better place.
It's not even in there anymore anyway. It's gone to somewhere better and
no.
into the universe.
No. Hell, baby. Hell, baby. She was evil, dude.
It's like a week after she died.
You don't know, dude. Anyway, how are
Thanks
you?
Thanks for being a bad friend.
Down, done, baby.
Yeah, we're done.
Are you really? I was just joking, man.
And I was being dead serious. The human.
Anyway, I just thought of that just now with the Zach clip.
Down, baby.
We didn't finish my story of the three questions, okay. But that's what made me think about actually the first time in a minute was that of like if that was could like really be a thing.
Talking to dead people.
Well, I'm just saying, yeah. To an extent, I'm just like, what would that conversation be like? What three questions would you? What three?
It would start. It would start with
what?
My first question to a dead person.
If you could legitimately like sprinkle something on a dead person,
what?
And ask them three questions, like not so their first thing would be, you know.
Sprinkle something on a dead person.
Okay.
Just a little sprinkle, sprinkle.
I'm done here.
that is a good movie though.
It is.
It was like, a fun movie.
I'm just that saying that's what made me think funny. About. That's what made me think about it. It was like that was the first time I thought about like what actually like because are you sitting there like just not knowing what's going on or are you somewhere and then someone just like woke you up or like what's going on there?
Okay, so of the three of us though, which one of us is most likely to be in hell? Wait.
Oh, on the count of three.
On the count of three, answer the question at the same time. Ready?
Oh man, I feel like this is gonna be bad.
One, two, three.
Jackie.
Wow. Me? You went so aggressive.
You guys it's were so aggressive.
Me? We pre-planned okay, no, saying no. you.
Okay.
We agreed okay. as a joke. You were being dead serious. Like, oh, Travis.
That's not true. I just thought Eric's saving all these abusers. So
I'm saving all the abusers.
Saving abusers? That sounds like a hell baby. Place.
He's exposing all these abusers. So, I mean, I feel like he's got like whatever.
That should be something we put into the sound.
Yeah.
Hell, baby. Hell, baby.
I think I told Travis we need like a leaderboard with like our faces where it's like heaven, hell.
Okay.
And week like to week, we'll just adjust it.
Goes.
Okay. I want to know based why both activities. Of you said me.
Short shorts?
No. Stop.
Hell.
Hey. Beer? I need to understand why I'm the one going to hell immediately.
Well, I mean, we don't want to air all that dirty laundry out.
Okay, what's the next part?
On the podcast.
No, you're not just going to skip past that.
Well, we can do whatever we want.
I feel like you'd start. I feel like you'd be.
No,
at,
you
no
can't.
Physical. See?
I'm a farmer's hand here, Travis.
I feel like you'd be at the pearly gate.
See?
And you'd be talking. And he'd be like, you know, this and this and this. I can't believe this happened. Blah, 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 blah. And then Peter's the guy would be sitting there like, oh my God. He'd push the button and he'd like little Nas X just.
That is so mean.
Just down the chute.
You just,
okay.
We could go on and on and on casting judgment on Jackie. We could go on and on and on talking about documentaries you should watch. But we should talk about today's main topic, which is our reaction to Rhett's reaction to some other random guy's reaction to Rhett's deconstruction.
Who's Rhett?
Rhett is, I think his last name is Ann Link. Look for it. Oh, wrong one, but it worked.
that was actually the right one.
I meant to do the drum, but the crickets were more effective. No, Rhett is from the channel Rhett and Link, Good Mythical Morning, all that good stuff.
Millions of subscribers on YouTube.
Yeah, and the 30-plus crowd love them.
That's true. Well, they're like literally some of the first really popular creators.
And like 3 years ago, Rhett deconstructed publicly and they still both give major youth pastor vibes, but
totally. Oh,
but
yeah.
Moses and youth pastor.
Moses, if Moses were the youth, was a youth pastor.
Yeah. Yeah.
But anyway, you know how Moses makes his coffee?
He's going to try to figure this out.
I don't know.
He brews it. Do you know how he does his hair?
Oh,
he parts it. Anyway, so they're part of a channel together, and he came out with that. It got a lot of feedback, and I think he said he's been mentioned like 3 books now that have addressed his deconstruction.
Yeah.
There's been tons and tons of videos. As someone who is a much smaller public figure, like 1% of his audience, I had like 3 made about me. So like extrapolate that toward like millions of views and followers and things. And anyway, he found himself in a book about deconstruction. It was kind of deconstructing his deconstruction in a lot of ways. Well,
from what I understood, it was a book that would label different, I guess, conclusions that people have come to after deconstructing. And then they would tie a persona to that type of belief system. Right. And so they had a whole chapter dedicated to like the type of belief system that Rhett ended up at and then broke down his entire deconstruction path.
Did the author reach out to them?
He said yes. So he said he was actually very fair about it and was just like, yeah, they reached out and they were very respectful and I appreciate them for doing this thing and for reaching out and letting me know that this is going to happen and asking for, you know, feedback or whatever, or comments. But he basically ended the episode saying, you know, I don't recommend the book because I just disagree with everything, going to read a book on this, like this is, you know, they did a good job or whatever.
Well, it was
pretty
complimentary to.
Yeah. Which is also, which is something I feel I respect a lot about people who do quote unquote deconstruct or who end up in a different, you know, system of belief, is those who are still like remain respectful to everybody in their own beliefs and things like that. So it seems like this particular, you know, Christian authors who wrote this book were pretty respectful of Rhett and where he ended up. But obviously the book was written in a way to be like, hey, don't do these things, or here's what's wrong with all of these beliefs that could be potentially what you might end up at after leaving the Christian faith or whatever. Right. So that was basically what it was. Is like, when we talked about restarting, figuring it out, I just saw a clip of Rhett come out talking about that. And, looked on Spotify and it happened to be like their most recent podcast. So they talked about this like 4 years ago for the first time.
You watched that when it came out. No,
I didn't. I know. I never saw the first one.
I've seen that. No, I watched that when it happened.
I never saw the first one.
Hubbub.
Yeah. And then every year on the anniversary of it, they do like kind of an update.
Yeah.
And so on this most recent one, he kind of gives a, you know, synopsis of the whole story and then talks about, oh, I was featured in this book and here's my thoughts about that too. But, I thought it was pretty relevant just because of the conversations we've been having lately. And, you know, he's somebody who obviously has put a lot of thought into this and he's also an expert communicator. He communicates for a living. So there was a few clips that I thought were really relevant that kind of expressed a lot how I feel in a lot of this. So, we'll pull up a few of these clips and, see what we feel about it.
I remember being a kid in a Christian community and having friends who called themselves Christians, who went to church, but it kind of didn't seem like it was that important.
Yeah.
And I was always like, what? How is this not the most important thing to you? Like, if this is true, if God is real, if you can have a relationship with God through Jesus, if you can have the Spirit of God inside your heart directing you, guiding you, if what you're doing now is impacting your eternity, if you could share this message with somebody and they could also be in eternity in heaven versus hell. Isn't this the shit? this is the most important thing. What is wrong with you that you don't get this? I remember thinking that about a lot of people that we knew.
Same.
Meanwhile, we were starting Christian bands and getting involved in Campus Crusade, going on mission trips, becoming full-time Christian missionaries because it was important.
Right.
Why would you not give your life to this? Why would you not give everything to this?
Yeah. That when I watched that clip, I was like, dude, that's how I felt all the time.
Yeah.
And
totally.
Cause I think all of us relate to like, we actually did buy into it.
Right.
And believed it.
Yeah.
And like, I talk to people all the time. Well, Tara always says, she's like, you sound the same now as when you did then. Cause like, I'd always be like, they don't get like, this is important.
Yeah.
Like, this is huge, but it is like almost you could take what he just said and be like, that's a sermon. Like, be more on fire, you know, because we heard stuff like that.
Yeah,
absolutely.
But it is this thing of like, when you think about the weight of what you're taught about, like, people could be going to hell for eternity.
Yeah.
It would have a drastic impact on how you live your life functionally.
And it did for me. I guess that's what kind of what makes it upsetting when you see some of the, you know, the Laodicean Christians, the lukewarm Christians who are now in the position of like calling you out for things. And you look at them and it's like, but you're doing like almost nothing for Jesus except for like giving an hour and a half on a Sunday morning at like a worship concert.
Dude, like, or when people say, not even you real. Were never really a Christian. That, I'm like, bro.
Oh, yeah. That's the one that they're really, that really gets me.
I
was going to say,
that's been our biggest like frustration, I feel like, whenever that situation where I can picture a metaphor what you're talking about on that situation. And that, I think that's the hardest thing. I don't know how many times before you told people of like, if we were raised just regular Christian,
yeah,
we probably would still be Christian.
Yeah, like 100%.
But people don't
almost
understand.
Not a doubt in my mind.
Yeah, but people just don't understand the depth that we were forced into.
Well, because that's how it was. Yeah. It was like, like that was why I committed to full-time ministry when I was 12.
Yeah.
So it's like, what else am I going to do?
Because you're never like, more ready to make a decision like that than when you're 12.
Yeah, and I like how nobody ever questioned it. Like, none of my authority figures were like, hey, you know how you made the decision when you were 12?
If you don't want to do it, they question it.
Oh, yeah.
If you do want to do it.
Yeah. When you do want to do it, it's God.
Let's get you in Bible college. Here's your wristband and your shirt.
And your college application.
Yeah. Peter Mord, here's your, let me launch a shirt out of a cannon at you.
That'll be $35 for your application fee. Sorry.
Should I have not said, I'll bleep out Peter Mord. Or do we like Peter Mord?
Sure.
He's fine. Peter?
He's a gentleman.
Good on you.
He's a gentleman.
You ruined a lot of lives, Peter. We're on to you, Peter.
he's the extension pastor now.
Yeah.
Of a new life. But yeah, that when I saw this clip, it was just, that was me.
Yeah.
There were so many people who would have called themselves Christians, but I would look at them and be like, there's no way you're a real Christian.
But even
how
then,
can you do anything else other than the mission?
But even then, watching this clip, I thought about a clip from Barnabas Piper. That also takes another level.
Is his name really Barnabas?
Yeah. Barnabas Piper.
He didn't change his name legally after.
No. It's a cool name. Barnabas.
Is it a cool name?
I'm Barnabas Piper.
Wait, he's Irish?
I'm Scottish.
All of a sudden.
He's a pirate. I was doing a pirate. he's not a pirate.
I thought his name was Abraham.
You're right. Barnabas is his brother that's very devout. So let me restart.
Oh, okay.
No, but on another level deeper than that, his brother is Barnabas. Barnabas and Abraham. They hated their kids. Anyway, no, I was going to say, but then there's a clip I thought of from Abraham Piper, who's the son of well-known pastor John Piper. And Abraham basically says, like, nobody really believes in hell. And like, when I watched that clip, I was like, it is true. Like, there is a level of like, even as bought in as I was, it's like, if you truly believed to the fullest the things that you were teaching, it would radically affect you. I actually pulled the clip. I'll just play it really quick. But I watched it and was like, that's a good freaking point.
Do people think they believe in a literal hell? Sadly, yes. But here's something fun. Almost none of them do. Not really. Even the most abrasive fire and brimstone preacher doesn't really believe in a literal hell. Here's how we can tell. If they allow themselves even a single banal luxury, they're proving they don't believe. How are you going to take your family to Outback after church while millions of people are burning alive? Do you know how many people begin their eternal torment while you eat that soggy fried onion? Like 480. That's on you. No, if hell is real and literal, it's a frontline situation. The few faithful fighting to protect the rest of us from the pit of fire we're heading towards. Nobody who really believes would take a break for trivialities. Can they read a novel or watch TV? Can they go out for a nice dinner? Can they take a long weekend in the mountains? No way! Unless they don't give a shit, but let's give them the benefit of the doubt. There are people who try to take things that seriously, but it's psychologically impossible. A true believer wouldn't even be able to hold down a job. How are you gonna spend time phlebotomizing or whatever when people are falling into the flames right now and you have the lifeline? If a supposed hell believer is a functioning member of society, and most of them are, thank goodness, they don't actually believe. Their core humanity won't allow them.
This show is brought to you by BetterHelp. It's a new year, which means it's time to write a new chapter of your life. And if you're someone like me, maybe the last couple of chapters have been a little bit rough here and there. Maybe it's time to finally experience a new plot twist, or maybe there's a part of your story you've been wanting to revise. Well, it's not going to happen just because you made a resolution that's going to fade by February. It's about picking up the pen and becoming the author of your own life. And I want to encourage you to think of therapy as your editorial partner, helping you write new chapters and create the meaningful story you deserve to live. Starting therapy with BetterHelp did just that for me. I was going through some of the biggest transition periods and toughest moments since starting this podcast, and having a therapist to bounce ideas off of and get the tools I need to live a better, more fulfilled life was so incredibly invaluable. It's not about just getting their system and their philosophy that you plug yourself into. It's about having an open dialogue and finding out what steps are best for you in your specific journey. I know my specific journey is extremely busy, and so that's why it's helpful that BetterHelp is fully online. It makes therapy affordable and convenient, and they serve over 5 million people worldwide. And the best part is they have over 30,000 credentialed therapists with a wide range of specialties to choose from, and you can easily switch therapists anytime at no extra cost. The first therapist I sat down with was not a good fit for me and my needs, and I went in the next day and scheduled an appointment with a different therapist who ended up being an absolute game changer for me. You can start writing your own story today with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/preacherboys today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/preacherboys. Get 10% off your first month right now with BetterHelp. It's time to write your story.
We're shipping Father's Day gifts with a rapid-fire round of questions. Ready?
Yes, my gift. Can you pack it?
Yep.
Ship it?
Yes.
Guarantee it?
Of course.
Oh, send a set of golf clubs.
Oh, hole in one.
Protect electronics? Dogproof it? Return it if they hate it?
Yes, no, and yeah.
Are you the UPS store?
Hey, we have a winner! Woo!
Visit the upsstore.com/guarantee for full details. Most locations are independently owned. Product, services, prices, and hours of operation may vary. See center for details. The UPS store. Visit a store today.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances. And get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
Well, yeah. First of all, he has long hair, so everything he said doesn't matter.
It's irrelevant.
People with long hair, disregard them immediately. Except for Rhett, who we're talking about the whole episode.
The reason to bring it up to me is just that it explains where I'm coming from when I get these just kind of offhanded comments from people who are just like the
Easter
most
Sunday
average yes
Christmas
the Sunday most Christians. Average Christians in the world.
And bro, are we preaching right now? You need to get more serious.
There's never, you know, it's like, How can you like levy these insults or these accusations against what I used to do and like the pure schedule that we had of how many times we were at church, what we were like, the amount of times we'd be evangelizing the lost, like how many
it
times
was
you'd be,
our lives.
You'd stand up in a crowded mall and just start preaching, like the clip that you sent us of that kid in the restaurant. Oh, I was like,
so weird.
Oh man, I feel so much empathy for that. If you can find that one, that's
hilarious. Should
I show that?
Me. I always feel weird with kids. I always feel like,
well, the thing is, he wants the smoke.
I know,
you know,
but I also know, like,
he's leveraging God for influence. You know what I mean? But that's what I'm saying is that I literally said that to, when you sent it to our group, I was like, oh man, that's
okay. I'm going to play it.
It's like, that's hilarious. But also that would have 100% been me if social media were around.
I mean,
when
he posted it, but I think it's more like, I feel just more like you said, I feel like bad. Oh wait.
Want to support the ministry? Cash App and buy.
Wait, hold on. I'm going to roast him a little bit. He kind of sounds like, you were showing me South Park. Yeah. He kind of sounds like Cartman.
Yeah, he sounds
I'm not trying to be disrespectful. I'm not trying to be rude.
Cartman just jumping up.
I just said I'm not going to roast him. I feel bad. Someone commented, bold as a lion.
Yes.
In a predominantly Christian nation, in a In-N-Out. Where they write, is this an In-N-Out? Or what is that? What restaurant?
It's not
it. Can we zoom? Zoom. What's that? What do they say on CSI? Zoom in, and then they say, like, where they make the image clear. And it's like, you can't do that.
Yeah.
Like, it's on, they're like, zoom in. can clear that image up. It's like, and it's like their phone number on like this big piece of paper. Anyway, sorry.
Any depression, any anxiety, any pain. If you can do it for me, I believe you can do it for you. And if you've already given your life,
I believe you can do it for you.
Nice kicks,
love
though.
Keep my commandments. Like that. So
that's
guys,
a hallmark of preachers.
In Jesus' name.
My favorite thing, like I said,
was that a scavenger hunt of what you had to do? Because I remember doing that.
What?
I would definitely be that kid. But the funny thing is to me, whenever I see kids like that getting up and talking about anxiety and depression and stuff like that, it's like, you're like 12. Yeah. Like you've experienced no life actual problems at this point. You know what? I guess that's fair. That's totally fair.
But it is.
But probably I'm right.
Yeah. Or like when you'd see preacher competition, like, if you want it in your marriage, if you want it, and you're like, whoa,
you're 13.
You've never been alone with a woman.
Well, you never do the scavenger hunt of going to like a grocery store and literally like saying that over the loudspeaker that like Jesus saves?
Yeah.
Yeah. No. That's what I'm saying.
No.
That was never. Yeah.
Well, like not we didn't do scavenger hunts, but we had, I mean, we just would do like mall stuff at
like singing
during
or something.
During soul winning time.
But I'm saying like we literally had scavenger hunts. It was like to go to a grocery store, ask them if you can talk on the loudspeaker and tell them like the gospel in like 2 minutes.
What grocery store employee allows you to just talk
they
on
did.
The loudspeaker?
Literally. I
mean,
remember,
you ask a kid, a kid comes up and says, please, mister, I have a message.
No. Yeah. Don't just let you have the loudspeaker.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you're watching this episode right now, go to your local supermarket and tell them
to get
listen
the gospel preached
to the Figuring Out podcast.
Yeah, that was literally a thing.
Yeah, I
to swallowing a goldfish.
Mm-hmm. Did you swallow a goldfish ever?
I sure did.
Did you? Have you?
No,
I haven't yet. Did you ever get asked to?
Yeah.
You said no.
Yeah.
I
always said no
because I was on a bus route for like 8 years.
It's so ironic that I did it and you didn't. That's actually really surprising.
Funny. Yeah.
Anyway,
but yeah, well, when you sent me that clip, I was like, first of all, hilarious. Second of all, I have so much empathy for this kid because that my entire Instagram would have been that. Yeah. But but then you see again, the caption was like, support the ministry, Cash App link in bio. It's like, where's that money going? You know, like my thing is like, there's so much opportunity in the kingdom that people continue to exploit all the time.
And it's largely pretty easy. Like if you go into an average restaurant, you're going to have like in that video, you're going to have that's pouring wine. Nobody's peeing in the studio. No, but it is something where if you're in a room of like 50 plus year old people, they're going to smile at you and clap.
Yeah.
You're not
going
to have somebody come and like clock you in the head.
Right.
Well, most times
as a 12
in Lancaster,
Maybe. In Lancaster, you're gambling.
But in Lancaster, that's going to happen anywhere. Yeah. For any reason. You could be sitting there listening and I just got mugged.
Oh, Lancaster.
Yeah. Anyway. So that was the first one. Why don't Christians take the faith more seriously? But it's more in the context of like, you know, just from lukewarm Christians' perspective, it's just comical to me when they try to tell us stuff.
Yeah.
Like we didn't
you
like
change as you stop going to church.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like I've been to church more in my life the first like 20 years than you have.
Like in 1 year, I went to church more than you've been in your entire life.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
exactly.
You're going to start telling me about what church
you
is.
You guys are so much better than everybody. You're so much
that is the hard part. No, though. I feel like legitimately people think that. It's like, I don't. I just know that like I've already ran circles around the questions that you're asking right now.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm better than you, but I'm running circles around you. No, it is true. I feel like that. Like I have people on Preacher Boys all the time that are like, bro, I've seen like I've actually been around like just because you grew up in one church. And I was like, I've traveled like churches in like 13 different states. Yeah. I've been like I traveled out of the country. Like I put this stuff to action like in a much bigger way than you
like,
have.
I literally committed my life to it.
We are better. You know, we are better. We are better. Anyway, what was the second takeaway?
That should be the tagline for the show.
We're better than...
We used to be better.
Is the tagline. Hell, baby. Call back.
Okay, so that was clip one. Why don't Christians take their faith more seriously? And if you like recently just jumped into this thing, then, you know, just, I guess, be more thoughtful about the way that you try to talk to other people about it, I guess, is really like the big takeaway. Because I get it. You're like excited about your newfound faith or whatever. But it's also like, you know, understand what context is. And like there's such a thing as context and being inappropriate and irritating people. But I guess, I mean, I guess everything we're talking about, I guess that kid is actually doing what we're saying, which is taking this faith seriously and preaching to a bunch of people.
Good day.
Well, it's just so. Being respectful and thinking of other people and what other people have actually experienced. Yeah. And I think
But speaking from a kid who used to preach like that when I was 12, right. It's like, there is a lot of it that's like, that craves
we
the recognition.
We gotta find those clips, bro.
Of me
We've
preaching.
We've gotta find those
clips. Oh gosh. They're somewhere.
They're somewhere.
Anyway. All right. What was the second take?
But there is some of it that is like the you do crave the attention though.
Yeah, sure.
You know what I mean? Like you
want to be a preacher boy. There's preacher boy competitions.
Exactly.
That's inspired a name of a podcast I love.
And you want to impress the authority around you. You know, because they're lifted as these like celebrities.
Yeah.
So all right. Clip number two. People this is a good one. People make God in their image.
The people
look how he did that. You see how he did that? He did that hair. He, look at him.
The Moses. The pride.
If anybody's better than us, it's him. Look at that.
The people.
Oh, yeah. With the eyes closed.
Became impatient with Moses, right? Moses taking too long. So what do? They made their own God.
This is him telling a Bible story.
It was a God that they could see, that they could understand, that they could relate to. It was tangible. It was defined. It was right there. It was a golden calf. So imagine if you're a kid in this group of people. And you see all these people worshiping this golden calf. Everyone, every adult in your community is doing it. The guy in charge, Aaron, he's telling you that this is your God. What do? Well, you don't question that, right? The God that you are presented with is the God that you accept.
Yes.
Most often, regardless of the nature of that God, at least initially. And the God that I could understand, that my community could understand, that my country could understand, is a certain
my
type
country.
Of God, right?
My country could understand.
It's the God not the whole country, like, you know, a big swath of the country.
The Bible Belt.
The God of American evangelical Christianity. And when I grew up, I took a closer look at that God, or what I would say the caricature of God that I had been given, and I became convinced that it wasn't God. I became convinced that whatever God is, it must be bigger than the God that I place my faith in.
I have a billion thoughts, but go first.
No, go for it.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. I will. This was another one that like hits me where it's like, this is exactly how I felt, where I still feel like this to an extent, like the God, and I say this about Jesus all the time. There's a lot about Jesus I find compelling. There's a lot about the Bible I find compelling. But even when I was devoutly Christian, and I would say devoutly Christian as an adult, when I started figuring things out on my own, it was like, whatever the God is that I believe in, picture, serve, is not represented by what he said, the country, the people, the church. Because like I feel like for most people, it was... my God is the reason I don't like you, or my God is the reason I have this superiority complex. My God is my God's the reason I got this great deal on this car. And it's like, for me, it always felt like the golden calf example is great because for me, it was like religion itself is taking this concept that is too big for us to psychologically understand and then literally melting it down into this easily identifiable, whatever you want to call it, like whether it's this social justice God where it's like God only exists because you feel transgressed against and he's on your side, or whether it's the MAGA God where it's like, you know, he's going to make our country great again, or whether whatever version of it always felt way too small to be called God.
Yeah.
And I just I resonate a lot with this idea of like whatever God I'm serving, it's not this. And I still feel like that because I feel like we can talk about it later, but like whatever higher power I ascribe to now or whatever bigger thing than us I believe in, it's not represented in this, you know?
Yeah.
And I'd love for there to be a representation that vibes.
Sounds real mystical of you.
I was gonna say, don't say vibes.
Yeah. Yeah. Like,
I'd like to find a God that like vibes, you know?
Freaking
God to smoke weed with.
It's my cousin Vinny or something.
Yeah.
Yo, I'm going to eat grits with him.
when he says that thing about like when you're a kid and you're seeing all the people in your life worship the calf, it's like most often the God you're presented with is the God that you accept. And that was something that was like, yes, that. Like, well, in any culture, yeah, what the God that you're presented with is a God that you accept, because everybody that you know is worshiping this one God. And like, this is the accepted truth in your tribe. So that's the truth that you just grow to accept and grow to be, not just accept, but also grow to be like completely and supremely connected to. Yeah. To the degree where your confirmation bias and your desirability bias and your cognitive dissonance and all of these things that are going on in your brain psychologically are fueling your desire for this one thing to be true. And anytime evidence suggests that it's not true, it's immediately written off.
Because that's not the God I know.
It's been wired into your brain since the time that you were a kid.
That's the freaking Reza Aslan thing in God, where I've only read the first like four chapters of the book because I was just like, okay, I get the point.
The gist.
And I wasn't into digging into all that at the moment, but it was one of the things where in the beginning he says, like, if you ask a kid to draw a picture of God, they draw their dad. Mm. Basically, like, they draw a male figure. And that really was impactful to me in understanding, like, the way you viewed the authority in your church was basically who God was times 10. Mm-hmm. And I think that, again, it's like the God you're presented with is a God you accept. It's like, he's basically just Paul Chappell times 1,000. He's basically just my dad times 1,000.
But basically, sorry.
No, I was going to say something like that you said resonated with me a lot too in that sense where I feel like.
About time.
Brother.
Mark it down.
I almost feel like, which is one reason, something that I struggle with, is like ignorance is bliss in a lot of ways too, that I feel like the second that I question anything, and we've talked about that a couple times too, where like ultimately every conversation, even me and you have, is like, you can't have those conversations with those people though, because ultimately it's just like, God is, you just don't understand though.
You just
don't understand though.
God's the trump card.
Thinking.
Yeah, it's the trump card, exactly. And I feel like that's something that I struggle with a lot.
Well, that is the trump card. You gotta go, well, God is bigger than you understand.
You can play me at any time.
Everybody's saying he's bigger. Stop he's bigger
it.
Than you think.
Everybody's saying it.
But that's something I struggle with a lot. And that's why I think that sometimes in a lot of ways too, now why I don't even, I think that's why I didn't have the conversation longer than I probably should have is because of that. Cause I was so used to just like it, me being, and whether it was on me or on them is irrelevant, I guess. But I just feel like for so long, I just stopped having the conversation because it was always like, but you just don't understand. But like, he's omnipotent, but like, he's all powerful, but like, he's all knowing. So like, you just don't understand though. And your mind, literally, you're just so, and I think that people literally said that, they're like, you're just so, your mind just cannot comprehend the what he can comprehend. So it was like, that was just like the trump card for anything that I asked the questions or that I had the questions about. It was just like, well, but like, you just can't understand. Where then I just feel like I really defaulted to that in so much of my thinking.
Yeah.
Because it was like, but you just don't understand though. And when you think of someone as that powerful, that's a trump card.
It's easy to
though.
Buy into that.
It
piece
is.
Of it.
But where I just always thought that. Why I pointed you to the case for Christ, because I clearly couldn't understand it. So he did. So I can point you to the video because that can, you can understand that, but I can't understand. Yeah. And I just like almost like held to, I feel like I realized that recently that I held to the incompetence that religion taught me because clearly I can't understand that. So that was always like the trump card.
Well, that's the thing though, is like, it's, and this is where I think religion boxes stuff in, where it's like, if there, I think there is a greater purpose to, I think we all have to believe that. To get through life in some ways, like there is, whether it's the purpose that we're forming or the purpose that exists or the whatever you want to say. But like, I think there was like, it was out of both sides of people's mouth, where even the Bible, where it's like, his ways are not our ways, his thoughts are not our thoughts. And then that's used as a repellent to digging deeper. Cause it's like, stop asking that because you're not going to ever know. But then like, then there's also stuff where it gets taught where it's like, how deep, like how immeasurable are his riches? And like, you can go this deep. And it's like, that pursuit is interesting to me, where it's like, let's go as deep as we can and explore this because it's huge. It's bigger than us. Like the mystery of life is bigger than us. But then when you start questioning something that goes against the rigidity of the structure, then it's like, his ways are not our ways. Don't dig any deeper into that one.
Yeah.
Well, and again, the God that you're presented with is God you accept. So like, as deeply and as strongly as you believe that it's Jehovah God of the Bible that is all of these things, somebody born in Saudi Arabia believes that all of the same things about Allah. Yeah. And the only thing that informs whether or not you believe in Allah or you believe in Jehovah is the region that you were raised in. But both of you get to play the trump card. So what happens when you play somebody a game of cards and you both have a trump card? Like, you're both just laying down the same card and going like, I win. And the other person's going like, no, I win. Rook. And it's like, no, I win. No, I win. No, I win. Like, it's just like, there can, like, play this game rook. Yeah, there's only one rook. Mm-hmm. You can only play it one, but like, if both
rook
players...
Rook everything based on the game. Rook always wins everything.
So if you play the rook, you get the whole, the kitty in the...
Yeah, it's a game.
You play the rook, you get the kitty.
Hey, if you like this, you know about the game. I don't know about the game.
But when you, if you play that card and the other person has the same card, it's just like, there's no progress to be made.
Man, because hand-to-hand combat.
Yeah. Well, it's like, well, there's no progress to be made here because you're saying that it's this and I'm saying that it's this. Neither one of us have any real, like, actual evidence, but we both believe it in the same regard. And therefore we will just be combative about
the
belief system. And it's just like, well, I am not against people believing in something, and I am not against people holding to hope or like having something else to live for or finding purpose in their beliefs. I'm for all of those things. But the second that you start judging other people and like intrinsically making the lives of the people around you worse because of how rigid you are in this thing that absolutely cannot be proved, that's where I start having a problem where it's like, well, like you're the one in this situation that is disparaging other people. Like I'm totally fine. You don't seem to be that way.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, the caricature of God, I thought was a great way to put it because it's like,
I'm glad you said that. Cause I wrote that in the notes.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to bring it up,
but I forgot about that, but it's what it is. It's like a poor,
the best way that those people at that time could understand who God was. But that was the whole reason that Rhett was telling the story, is that like in the story of the golden calf, it's just this ridiculous story where like they melt the idol and they make the people eat it. And then God requires some of them to go kill other members of the tribe that were worshiping the golden calf. Yeah. And it's like, wait, so God wanted them to go murder other people who didn't believe? Like, what are we even talking about here?
It's like, it feels like all of human history is making golden calves to like make sense of the God we don't understand.
To bridge the gap between certainty and uncertainty.
Right. And I feel like this goes right into the third clip, which really falls into this metaphor of the telescope, which I think kind of plays into this, but I think it kind of expands on that idea, which is like, when you see the information, like how do you process it, which has been huge for me lately.
The way he talks about this God concept was very helpful to me because it helped me understand the way that I had conceived of God.
He's talking about the book Awareness
for so much of my life, right? An analogy, he's got a lot of really great analogies in the book. I love analogies, and I'm going to give one of my own that has been helpful in this. Just imagine that there are multiple people who have telescopes pointed at the sun to look at the sun.
Very bad idea.
And then there's one guy who starts saying, hey, I think that the sun is in my telescope. You know, I think that my telescope is the thing. Like, it's the right telescope. You know, you're convinced that the thing that gives you your concept of God, in this case, your religion of choice, is the thing that is ultimate, the thing that matters.
Ain't that Bradley dropping bombs?
Versus whatever it's pointing to, right?
But Jesus wasn't his real name, though.
His name was Yeshua.
What happened? I think in many ways it was a complete preoccupation with the telescope itself and a defense of the telescope itself, and being convinced that I had found the right telescope. And I'm learning more and more that my deconstruction was not necessarily a deconstruction of God. It was a deconstruction of my telescope.
So, I thought this was a fantastic analogy. And the book he's talking about is Awareness by Anthony DeMello, which I have not read. You've read that book.
He sounds like a chill dude.
Anthony DeMello.
He's DeMello. Yeah.
The one book that I've read that haven't read.
Apparently it's like a talk that he did that's transcribed into a book. So he recommends doing the audiobook, which I downloaded the other day, and I'm excited to dive into it. But yeah, either way, the analogy that Rhett gives here, I thought was really spot on. It's the same concept of the God that you're presented with is God that you accept. it's just like the lens through which you view God becomes the ultimate truth of who God is rather than the actual picture of God himself. Mm-hmm. And the lens through which you view God become like that, like that's the religion that you were raised with. That's the set of rules or parameters or this caricature that you were taught is this version of God. And that is the truth. And if you view God through any other one of these telescopes, if you look at this planet or this sun, whatever, through this telescope, then that's not real. So you, like, I'm looking at it through this one, you're looking at it through that one, and you might see a spot on the sun that I don't see. And then I look at that and I go, well, like, you're wrong. It's like, well, but we're both looking at this thing. It's just that you're looking at it through a different instrument that I'm looking at it through. That doesn't make you wrong and me right. That just means that we have different perspectives and we're looking at it through a different, through literally a different lens. And I thought that was like a really, you know, it was an apt metaphor to describe the process.
Well, again, is what I feel like that's what I always come back to when people ask me where I've landed with everything. I'm like, I think that the higher power is the same thing. It's religion is the telescope that people are looking through. But I think it's all the same thing. I think you're still looking at the sun.
We're all talking to the same person.
Exactly. Yeah. That's
the same entity.
I feel like I just keep, getting more and more agreeing with
what's all I say is like religion, all religions like 20% right, 80% wrong.
Yeah.
People get so fascinated with like the mechanism or the system. And like when I was hardcore into like the reformed world, it's like there's a systematic theology that makes sense of it. And it's like God just becomes this like smaller and smaller being versus like recently I kind of have a, not to sound woo woo, I have a feeling there's something bigger. But I just, the minute I start exploring it, it takes away the magic of that. Mm, so it's like almost better to just have the knowledge that there is something bigger than to say it's bigger and it is this.
Yeah.
And, you know, that would terrify me years ago, but like I almost, the uncertainty now goes, you know, that idea that there's some purpose that we don't understand tied to nothing matters, choose what does. It creates a really cool world to live in.
Well, it's hope beyond understanding, which is really where I believe true hope exists. You know, like if it's not, to me, it's not true hope if you can tell me exactly what it is. Mm-hmm. That negates the, you know, necessity for hope to begin with.
Yeah.
It's like you can have hope. It's just that you believe something and you can't really explain it and you don't really have the ability to articulate it, but that's kind of part of the structure of it. You know what I mean? So why try to pretend like you have all the answers when all of us know it's impossible to have all the answers? Because if you did, we would all agree with you.
Yeah,
like there's certain things we've all agreed on because we can all observe them and come to the conclusion together. Yeah. Like gravity, we can all pretty much agree on gravity, that's a law of Earth that exists because of the gravitational pull of Earth's core. We can observe it. We can set up multiple experiments and we can watch what happens.
Gravity is the one thing you can believe in that will always let you down. I just thought of that. That's pretty good. Huh? That's a good one. Write that down. Write it down.
We don't have to write it down because we're recording this
episode. Record it down.
But yeah, it's just a, you know, to suggest that you have all the answers is to me just a very, it's audacious, to say the least. All of this has come to the question that we're going to end this episode with, which is, what does God mean to you now? What conclusion have you come to that will obviously, you know, still be worked through?
I haven't come to a conclusion because it never ends. There's no end point on deconstruction.
That's what I was saying.
I think for me, I feel like there is some greater purpose or power above everything, potentially. At least that's where I default to. But I also believe it is what you make it. So I'm somewhere between nothing matters, decide what does, and there is a greater good that we can strive for. But what that is, who that is, what that is, like where
does
that
it
is,
have a name.
Yeah. And also I think there's just the evolutionary advantage of believing that if there is a good or
gooder.
If there is a greater, higher purpose, and we are striving to make the world better, a better reflection of what we believe divinity to be, which I think can be summed up with the doing good to others and improving yourself.
Yeah.
I think regardless of whether that framework is real or it's just in my mind and nobody needs to know what that framework looks like it's going to be a net positive in my life. Do I think it's Yeshua or Allah or Buddha or, you know, freaking Keith Raniere, like whatever, like, I don't know who that figure is. It's not Keith Raniere. Yeah. But whatever,
to be clear,
whatever supernatural figure or name that is, he, she, they, them, you know, whatever the fuck it is. I was going to say Xenu, but it's not Xenu either. It's not Scientology. It's really not any of the ones I just mentioned. Whatever it is, to put a name on divinity is to lessen divinity itself.
Yeah.
Tweet that shit.
All right, Jackie, what does God mean to you now?
Oh, man. I think it's all the good that I was taught. Again, I think that I still hold to so many of the morals and the standards that we were taught growing up, but I think it's all the good side of it without the judgmental and all of the speculations and everything. That's why I've always said that, and I think that I still, everything rings truer and truer the more that I dive deeper into it, I guess, that I think that it's still, every religion is pointing to the same thing. Everyone just calls it something different. And I just feel like all of the good sides of it, and I think that we all know it. I just think that like your ultimate intuition or your ultimate gut feeling, I guess is the best way to say it, I think is the right thing. That I think that like that is who I call it God, because that is who I was raised to call it. And I think that is still all the good of God is still, I still believe in the good of God and the love of Jesus and the love of all that stuff. I just think I don't believe in all of the, I just don't think he is, I think that humans in so many ways have screwed up so, and religion in so many ways have screwed up so much of who we view Jesus and God to be. But I think that like, if you can strip everything away from the human aspect of who Jesus and God, again, I'm calling it Jesus and God because that's who I was raised to call it. But whatever you were raised to call it, whether it's Allah or Buddha or whoever that is, I think it's all the same thing. But I think that every human ultimately knows instinctively what good is and what morality is. And I think that all of that is the same. I think that you know what the goodness of God is. And I think that that's, I still believe in like the trueness of that. And that's why I think that it's hard for me to answer if there's a heaven and a hell, because I think that the trueness of a loving God, if you strip away all of the judgmental side of it and the, all of those sides of it, I think it's ultimately the same thing.
Okay.
Sorry, Travis, do you want us to call you on you? Travis, what do you think?
Thank you, Jackie.
You're welcome.
I basically,
it doesn't matter what you think.
It doesn't matter. I mean, it's obviously an extremely complex question. I believe in something greater than what Earth has to offer. And I think it's pretty proven that the majority of energy and matter was created or began to exist in a small fraction of time, whether you call that the Big Bang, whether you call it creation or whatever. I think that we basically all emanate from the same energy source and we all share that common energy and it connects all of us and it connects everything in the universe, especially everything on this planet. So yeah, I guess like God to me is not really like an image of a guy in a beard casting judgment on the insignificant actions of people on a teeny tiny planet in a small galaxy in the, you know, random part of the universe that we exist. Like everything's way too big to believe, like for me to believe that a God with like two eyes, a nose and two ears and a beard sits there and goes like, I care what Travis did yesterday. That to me is an unfathomable concept. to me, it makes more sense to have this kind of conscious energy that flows through all living things that we all originated from and that we will probably all return back to once we die. And that energy doesn't have much of a say on what happens on a day-to-day basis, and not really doesn't have much of a say, but doesn't have much of a opinion or doesn't really care about what happens on a day-to-day basis.
But tied to the bigger picture is kind of what you're saying.
Yeah. Well, it's just like that energy is like supreme, and there's like certain kind of rules of the universe that exist. Like, you know, if you work hard, probably good things will happen. If you do good by other people, then probably good will be done to you. Like there's certain things that just exist, yeah. but in terms of like, can I alter that energy's decision on what tomorrow holds for me by asking it to change its mind? I don't believe that's true. Yeah. I think it's just based on the effort and action that you take. And that energy is like set up as laws of the universe to reward certain actions if you continue to do them. So yeah, I don't think it's a unknowable entity with a name, I guess is what I'm trying to say. It's more just like an ultimate energy that we all flow from and that we'll probably all flow back into once we pass. So obviously pretty complex question to end on, but yeah, that's kind of where I've ended up now.
All right. It's a great episode, guys. Let us know what you think in the comments below.
Thank you for listening to the Figuring It Out podcast. If you appreciated the content on the show, be sure to leave a 5-star rating and review and subscribe so you don't miss a single episode. For more information about the show, visit www.figuringitout.tv or connect with us anywhere on social media with the handle figuringitout.tv.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get 3 Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.